Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for every day that you give us, Lord, every opportunity we have to come together to worship you. Lord, in this revelation, Lord, this great unfolding, Lord, of you in this last day. Father, we thank you and praise you. We ask that you would speak to every heart tonight, those that are here, those that are listening in, and those that will listen in, Lord. Lord, that your word would reach out to each one. Lord, that every seed, Lord, will be quickened to that truth, Father. And Lord, let us draw nigh unto thee every time we come together, Lord, every opportunity that we have, every time we look into this great message. Lord, whether we're reading it or hearing it, Lord, give us revelation. Lord, open our hearts and our understanding. We ask your blessings on each one now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. It's good to see each one. We just greet you in the name of the Lord. And we're happy to be here. Good to see Joe with us tonight in Asenoth. And God bless you. Sister Emily had texted me earlier, and they're still having a lot of sickness. She said they're on the mend and getting better day by day. And then we want to just continue to remember them, that the Lord will bless them. And she said she's been having a little back issues also, and she thinks that might be the goat that ran into her. And so I was thinking that could possibly be it. And so, but mine's been hurting too, and that's been from bending over so much at work. And but she, all of them have been sick, and we want to continue to remember them. The Lord will bless them and continue to strengthen them. And then Brother Bosworth texted me a while ago. He said he's in Mooresville with Sister Esther and the girls, and so they're listening in tonight. So may the Lord bless them. Sister Edith with Brother Richard, and they're listening in. And we started off there at the hospital, the rehab. And it was Brother Richard wasn't talking much and wasn't moving around much, and then got to where he was able to move around a little bit. And after you're there a while, you start knowing some of the people and different things, and people have began to show an interest. And so Brother Richard just has made some friends. Some of them have left, but he had made contact and made some friends and talking about the Lord. So we thank the Lord for that, and we think that he's been being a witness, and Sister Edith also. So the Lord is in all those things and has a purpose in all things. So now tonight, we've been talking about that eternal fire and that eternal separation and that eternal judgment and those things. And so I still, as much as I've been trying to move on for this, it just keeps growing on me. And so tonight I want to, and I wish I had put it in parts so it would be together, but it is a continuation. So the last several services. So tonight I'm taking the title, Investigating Judgment. And we got two angels going down to Sodom. And so we talked about it, and I want to read the scripture tonight in Genesis chapter 19. And this is after the two angels left Abraham, And so they first come down, there was three, and they come to Abraham, and he identified them. He said, "My Lord." And you know that he didn't see three, he saw one. And so, but there were three. And so, and they ate, and he entertained them, and they had one, but he knew that there was one of them that was God himself. And so it was Elohim who was created a body and came into it. And then there was two angels with him, and those two angels were sent down to Sodom. And Brother Branham typed that with the modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and that they have preached to the world, and that they have blinded the people. And so that's exactly what these two angels did. They blinded the people of Sodom. And so and that's what the gospel does. The gospel blinds them. And so it's going to do one or two things. It's going to open your eyes, your heart. It's going to give you revelation, or it's going to blind you. And so that you, you know, the scripture says, and I haven't read it in a long time, but it said that they would rather believe a lie. They would rather believe a fable. They would rather believe something that's not true. And so let us get into it now. Chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And notice how many times through the scripture it's in the evening time. It's in the evening time that the revelation comes. It's in the evening time that the judgment comes. And even the scripture promised us that there would be light in the evening time. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, he sees two, and he knows there's something special about them, so much so that he bows himself to them. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Now think now, why they've come here for the purpose of judgment. And Brother Branham said it is an investigation judgment. I want to read out of the sixth seal, Brother Branham speaking of the same. So I've thrown in a couple of quotes in between the scripture, but I have the whole chapter there. Brother will read it all, I don't know. So, but let me read this out of the sixth seal. "This is the time of the investigation judgment." That's right. See? And we'll get on that. We'll get on that on the trumpets when we come to that. Whenever the Lord provides, or the vials. See? So there were seven trumpets, seven vials, seven plagues. See, all of those things coming out. And we'll find out on that investigating judgment. See? And just before the woes went forth. See? And we see that that is true. And the three angels that struck the earth crying, you know, woe, woe, woe. There was three angels. And Brother Branham said that those three angels with the three woes, he said that was the last three church age messengers. He said that was Luther, Wesley, and Branham. That was the ones. Each one had a woe. So as we was coming to the end of the seven church ages, there was three woes that went forth, three angels that struck the earth crying. And so Brother Branham identified them. And in 19:3, see, and let me reiterate that one more time. This is the time of the investigation judgment. So when he was going down to Sodom, the Lord said, "Let me go down and see if those things are true. Those things, that report that's coming to me, let me go see if it's true." So it was time now for judgment. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned. Remember, they're going to stay in the street all night. And he's saying, "No, no, no, come in." So he pressed on them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. See, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old, and all the people from every quarter. See, this is quite a gathering now. All the men of the city, young and old, see. And they, sorry, I'm going to get back to the trigger here. Verse 5, and they called out unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And now, this scripture, as you know, this to know that's being said here is to have carnal knowledge. It's the same know that Adam had when he knew his wife and she bare Abel. It's the same one that went on, he knew his wife again and she had Seth. It's the same know. And so it means a relationship. It's the same know that when in the New Testament he told them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. Huh? Because it's talking about relationship. It's talking about carnal knowledge. And I want that to be known there, but I'm trying to say it in a way because of the children that were listening in. So, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. So Lot goes out of the house, shuts the door, and said, I pray thee, brethren, do not so wickedly. I'm sorry, I'm messing myself up here because I keep... Behold now, I told you this on Sunday, this has always baffled me. This always, I couldn't just wrap my head around it. I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came thee under the shadow of my roof. He knows these are the angels of God, and he's willing to sacrifice his own family, his own children for this. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand. He's talking now the two angels. Put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. So now they've delivered him from the mob. So the mob is there, the young and old, they're completely compassed around the house, completely surrounded, and now they want these two angels. They want these two angels. So I want you to think the perversion that this is the same perversion that is here in this last days. That this is scripture is being fulfilled once again. That scripture was manifesting the word of that day and of the perversion of that day and the condition of the people of that day. And now God has sent down his angels to investigate this and to confirm this perversion that's among the people, that's among the cities. And it wasn't just this, it wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah, but it was all of the cities, all the plains, all the cities of the plains there in that area. And he didn't come just to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but he came to destroy every one of those cities. Yes, and he did except one. He destroyed every one of those cities except one for the sake of Lot. So, the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. So, I'm throwing in a quote here. This is in 1956, the junction of time. The whole world is a shaking. See? The whole world. Everywhere Brother Branham went, around the world, people were fearing. And now we look at the situation now, and we see the condition of the nations. We can see the things that are going on with Israel. And just think, it was even under Biden, as bad as it was in the economy and all the other things, Biden made a stand that surprised me. I never expected it. But Biden stood 100% with Israel. He stood with Israel. But the thing that we didn't know at the time is there's two sides to Israel. There's the right and there's the left. And just as one side is going with the conservative end, one side's going with the liberal side. And it's there. And so, and the people know it, and it's now, there's a big divide right now. There's a big divide among the people, and it's come into, for so long, the conservatives, the Republicans have been 100% with Israel. And now there's a divide. And so that has a meaning. Yes. It's not just happening for no reason. That has a meaning. And there's a reason for it. See, the United States is shaking. The great bureaus and so forth in the great Pentagon. And all of that investigating supernatural things. See, all of that's out there. And they see it and they know it. But they don't know what it is. But they see it. They're able to pick it up. They're able, for whatever shape it comes in, or you know, if it's angels, when it was in Arizona, it was in the shape of a cloud. Seven angels were in the shape of a cloud. So though that was supernatural beings there, and they took the science, took the pictures of it. They're the ones. They seen it. They took the pictures of it, and they said, this is not a regular cloud. They wanted to identify it. They wanted to figure out what it was. And to this day, they don't know. They still don't know. But there it was, too high, too big for a regular, it wasn't a rain cloud. It wasn't none of that. It was something supernatural was taking place. So these bureaus, like the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, all of those things, they're seeing the signs of these of this visitation, of these investigating angels. They're seeing it. And so they know there's something there, but why they're fearing is because they can't touch it. Because they can send out jets beside one of these unidentified objects, and it just moves, it goes like that, it's gone. It's in the blink of an eye. It can be there, and then it's not there. And so they know it's there, and they've recorded it there, but then it's gone. And so that brings concern. That brings concern. And so the same thing happening around the world. See? And they say, oh, we've seen little men in them. All kinds of stories. They try to deny it, see? But they're there. Huh? Why? God said that there'd be signs in the heaven above and in the earth. See? We got it. See? And they're afraid. We got it. It's here. Why? Because God said it would be here. So is there a lot of fake stuff out there? Sure, there's fake stuff out there. Is there a lot of stuff people trying to produce? Yeah, there is. But there is also the scripture being fulfilled. Amen. That's there too. Yes, sir. That's right. Back at Genesis 19:11. And they smote the men that were at the door with door of the house with blindness, both small and great, huh? So that they wearied themselves to find the door. So all of them, they just blinded them. Now they couldn't find the door. And so I wonder about this. A blind man can feel and find the door. You can take somebody's eyes away, you can blindfold them, and they can walk around and feel stuff and know what's there. But it's just my opinion, so you can just lay it aside. But that it affected their comprehension. It was a chaos. They were in a chaos. And they couldn't find the door. They just wandered and wondered. They were standing right there in front of the door. They pulled them in and closed the door. They were standing right there in front of the door. And now they can't find the door. So, and that's exactly where people are at spiritually. Yes. Brother Random said there's three kinds of believers. He said it's in every group. He said it's in every group. There's three kinds. there's a believer, they're going to believe the word no matter what. They're going to believe every word of it. Whether they understand it perfectly or not, they have recognized the voice of God. They've recognized the presence of God. They've been born into the kingdom of God. And so when the word speaks, even before they understand, even before anything, they say amen.
Yes, sir.
And then there's the unbelievers. And the unbelievers, that doesn't mean they're not religious. They can go to church. They just don't believe it. They don't believe the word. And they can even be in this message.
Yes.
They can be right in this message believing that God has done something great, but they don't have the revelation of it.
Right.
And so when you talk about the seven seals, you talk about the rapture, you're talking about these things that have happened spiritually, they don't believe it.
Right.
It don't matter how much you try to persuade, how much you show them in the scripture, you show them in the message, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Goomba earlier, and he was telling me that the meetings that he was in Kisumu he said it was really great. He said it was really a great anointing and the Lord really blessed them. And so some of the people that long ago, there were some ministers from Mombasa that were there, and I won't call any names, but that way back in the beginning, when I can remember, I hadn't been there long, and so they were really fighting, and we couldn't go there and preach. They were on the other side. That was just on the serpent seed and some of those things, on Cain seed being there. They fought that with everything. So they wouldn't hear anything else. When you didn't join in on that doctrine, because it was a big doctrine, if you didn't accept their idea of Cain seed coming over, then they weren't going to hear you on nothing else. And so then as it came, when it got deeper and deeper, redemption being over and the rapture and these other things, as they began to unfold, then you were just completely wrote off. And Brother Goomba really, he stood alone in the beginning. I remember the early days when I was there, those first years, he really stood alone. And he would go to ministers' meetings and they would just all be against him. And you can't imagine what that is. Unless you've been in that situation. I was telling somebody the other day, the first time I went to Uganda, we had a meeting, there was 38 ministers, and that's exactly what it was. They didn't believe in the marriage and divorce the way the prophet preached it. And so they just, as soon as they found out, and I told them in the first service, because they were already downing it. They were already talking about it, a damnable heresy. And so the very first service, I told them right from the pulpit, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And I said, you see it every day. You walk out your door, you see it. It's in nature. You cannot get away from it. It's there. And so if you're going to deny it, then you're going to deny it everywhere.
Right.
You're going to have to. You can't take half of it. And that's what's wrong.
That's right.
And so the other ones, and so that, like I said, Brother Goomba's been through that. And he said some of those brothers that was putting us out before, that give him such a hard time before, he said now they're asking questions. Now they want to know. And so I just was praising the Lord. I was praising the Lord and thanking God for giving him such success there on the mission field and blessing him so much. I know what it is to have that thing bubbling in your heart when you see somebody who has fought, and then to see them turn around, that's the hand of God. That's the hand of God. And so we thank God for that. So, and verse 12. So, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Now, these men now, they've come in, and they were going to spend all night in the streets, investigating this thing, seeing the city, doing the things. Brother Branham talked about that, said when he'd go into a city, he'd ride around the city, see what was going on, what kind of, you know, all the bootleg joints and all of the dance halls and all the different things that was going on in the city. See what kind of city, what kind of spirits was there. And though these men were prepared now, but they've been invited in. They've been invited in to a home. And now, so they're asking him now, do you have any more family? Is there anybody in this city that you can get out like Rahab did? Is that right? That was given to Rahab. You bring everybody in. You go get your family. You go get your loved ones. You go get these. You bring them in under this scarlet thread. You get them into your house. And if they're in there, they're okay. And if they're not in there, they're not going to live. It's not going to happen. And so now that's the same thing that's happening right here. Now they're telling him, you got any sons, you got any daughters, you got any people out there, even son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws, anything, bring them, go get them. And so he went. He went to get them. So the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. See? And for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Huh? This is judgment. This investigation is going to end in judgment. But yet, they're coming to minister to these people. To the elect. See? Or to Lot and to his family. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Think about this. Now here, he's been given a message from these angels of God telling them that the way of salvation. It was the gospel. That's what Brother Ben said about us today. He said, this is the gospel of our salvation. Not in another day. We're not here worshiping or following after a baby in a manger. He's not going to hang on the cross today. And I know this bothers some people, but he's not going to hang on the cross today. That's finished. It's done. That was for another day. And now it came all the way. The blood came all the way through. And it's another thing people don't like. The blood came all the way through the seven church ages. And it was perfectly typed in the Old Testament when the people came into for the worship, when they came into the area where they were going to worship, they had a cloth all the way around, and they all entered into this, and it was like a gate. Well, what it was two posts and a post over the top, and so it was wide for many people coming in and out, and over the top of that post over the top, it had seven stripes of the blood of the Lamb. There were seven stripes of blood. So everybody that entered in to worship came by the blood. They all came in. And Brother Branham said that was the type of the seven church ages. So they came in under the blood. But then that mighty angel comes down and he takes the book. He finishes redemption. All the names of the elect are in the book. And he takes the book and he claims every name that he paid the price for. Amen. Through the blood. Right. Through the blood he paid the price. And so now we're in another time. Now we come in another, we have a gospel of this day. We have a revelation of this day. Amen. That was a revealing. The seventh angel revealed completely the Bible.
Right.
That's right. And when the seals was opened, the revelation of the Bible finished.
Yes, sir.
It was completely finished. Every mystery was finished. That's right. He had been revealed. You say, well, I didn't know. It's not based on what you know. It's not based on whether you even knew about it yet or whether you were born again yet or none of those things.
That's right.
None of those things. What mattered was you in the mind of God before the foundation of the world?
Yes, sir.
And if you were in the mind of God, when he come to hang on Calvary,
Amen.
The blood was for you.
Yes, sir.
When he came to claim what was in the book, it doesn't matter if you've been born again, doesn't matter what anything else. If your name was in the book, he come to claim you.
Yes, sir.
Now it's because of that. That's his work now. Back there was the blood work. Back there was the sacrifice. But now is the claiming.
Yes.
And so when it comes time for the claiming, then you've got to receive him in the form that he's in today.
Amen.
And he's not that. He's not a baby in a manger.
Right.
He's not hanging on the cross. And he's not in the partial word, the partial revelation like he was in the seven church ages.
That's right.
Paul made it clear. The prophet made it clear. That was in part. And so, and I know we've said that many times, and I think that's okay. I'm just going to keep repeating it. Because what we have today is not in part.
That's right.
What we have today is in the fullness because the veil has been taken off of God.
Yes, sir.
That's what's happened.
Amen.
And so you can know God today,
right.
Not just in part. Yeah, you could know him back there. You could know that he was the Lamb of God that hung on Calvary and gave his life to give his blood so for the sins of the people. That's wonderful. That's great.
Yes,
but he's unfolded more of himself now.
Right.
He's unfolded more of himself.
Yes.
And so now you could know the fullness of the plan of redemption.
Yes.
That was only a part.
Right.
That was Calvary was just one part of redemption. Rather, redemption is in two parts. One is to pay the price. The other is to claim.
Amen.
And so another way Brother Branham said it, one is to come out. The seventh angel was calling the people, come out.
Amen.
Come out of her. Come out of the denomination. Come out of those ideas. Come out of your own intellectual faith.
Amen.
Come out of your own intellectual ideas, your carnal ideas. Come out of that.
That's right.
But then there was another part. And that part was to come into Christ.
Amen.
First you had to get out of one thing, and then you could come into another thing.
That's right.
And so that's what Brother Branham said, and I really do want to get on it sometime soon. We've preached on it, on the rapture. Because that's what was taking place. That seventh angel messenger was screaming to the people, come out of her, my people.
That's right.
Come out. And so then, once the seals broke, once he took the book, once he claimed the bride and declared that though, and he, that mighty angel, was to speak those seven thunders, and those seven thunders was to bring rapturing faith. So once they came out, then that revelation was going to bring them into Christ, bring them into the presence of Christ. And so it was a great unfolding, a great unveiling, a great revelation of Jesus Christ in his fullness, in the fullness of his spirit and the fullness of the word. And so that's the thing. That's the beauty of this message. Like no other age, like no other time, this is the greatest time. So we said there's three types of believers. The believer, the unbeliever, and then the make-believer. That person who just pretends like it, just acts like it, just wants to, you know, hang out, see? But down in their heart, they really don't believe it, see? They can even say they do, but they don't. See, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. So what did he say? But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And that's what people, that's what it is. That's what it is. And you, I can remember my thoughts when I first heard what the rapture was.
Mm-hmm.
That catching away. I can remember I thought, this is way out there. This is really a stretch by the carnal thinking.
Yes,
you know, because it had been ingrained. Everything you ever heard your whole life is that the rapture is this thing that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to be changed and you're going to be in another body and you're going to get caught up into the skies. That's just been what it's been. And I don't know how long that idea has been there. I don't know if it's been 2,000 years, but somewhere somebody came up with that word, the rapture. Because it's not in the Bible. So when they were bringing this idea of what it was, is when they came up with this word. And this word, and that's all fine, nothing wrong with the word. That's fine. That just mean, but the Bible says caught up. So caught up doesn't necessarily mean the same way that these people's idea has produced. Caught up means you're going to be caught up in a crowd. Like at the door of Lot, when all these people were there, they got caught up in this riot, in this thing to try to take these angels and defile them. They were caught up in that thing. So Lot was getting caught up in the reality that these men were here to deliver him and his family and to bring judgment on the city. That's what was taking place. And so that's what happens to the elect. They're caught up into the revelation of Jesus Christ today.
Yes, sir.
And when you're caught up in that revelation, it changes your way of thinking. It changes the way you see things. You now have the mind of Christ. Now, you know, the Bible talks about it and says that God's ways are not man's ways, and man's ways are not God's ways, and the things of God are foolish to man, and the things of man are foolishness to God. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Sure.
So there's no way you're going to get those two to come together until you change the nature of one of them.
Yes.
So one of them has got to be changed. And so God's not going to change because he's the creator.
Amen.
So what he does is he changes that nature, that soul that's in you. And when you're born again by the word of God, by the word of your day, and that it has to be,
right.
You can't be, and people argue this and people doubt this, but you cannot be born today. Well, I guess you could be, but it won't do you any good. You can be born by another age. See? Because even Peter said in the scripture, he said, being born again of incorruptible seed.
Right.
Not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. There's people born again by something, by a church, by an idea, by a love for something, or for an emotion of this or an emotion of that. They can be excited. They can have goosebumps. They can sell out. They can do a lot of things because they're excited about it, because they see something. I've seen people, they can even stop drinking. They can stop smoking. They can stop doing a lot of things. They can start going to church. That's not it. That's good. That's wonderful. But it's got to make you recognize the word, the revelation of Jesus Christ today. In every age, from Genesis through every prophet was to bring the people into the revelation of God for that moment in time.
Amen.
And then if it was the next day another prophet come, or if it was 800 years later,
yes,
that next prophet was going to bring them into a deeper revelation of God.
Amen.
And so then when it comes to the New Testament, we put a name to it. The Son of God now has been made manifest, Jesus Christ, and he's the one who's revealing the Father. He's the one that's revealing. See? So, but they mock. And these mocked when you begin to tell them. And so you tell them that they're looking for two men, Moses and Elijah, to come. And you can't, I don't argue with that because they have quotes for that. But the reality is Moses represents the Old Testament and Elijah represents the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
And so when the scripture is saying that those prophets, yes, they're all included. All the prophets are right here.
Amen.
They're all included. And so the prophet said, this is going to happen. Well, you go back there and you find the prophet that said that. Yep, the prophet said this is going to happen. And here it is, it's happening.
Right.
And then another prophet said, this is going to happen. Yep, and here it's happening right now in this day.
Yep.
So they were represented there. They were represented there. And so all of it, it comes together. And so these things are so far out of man's thinking. It's so far out of theologians' thinking. It's so far away from denominational thinking that it just, You say it to people and they just become dumbfounded sometimes. They're just like, boom. I had all of those feelings, all of those emotions the first time I seen it. And I thought, this is, can this even be true? Can this even be true? But it became real. There's something, I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't leave it off. I couldn't lay it down. There was something about it that made sense. And when we look out at the denominational ranks, none of that does. And all of them have a different idea. And then you go to the scripture and you see the same thing in Jesus' day, that they had every denomination, they had every idea, all of them claimed the same God, the same sacrifice, the same everything, and they were fighting against one another. Huh? Yep. That's right. They're fighting against one another. Did the Samaritans believe the same God that the Pharisees did? Absolutely. But there was a racial discrimination because they were like half-breeds. They were like half-breeds. And so they didn't even want to. That's why when Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, it was I don't know what the other guy was that got hit by the robbers on the road, but it was the Samaritan who come by. Here's the guy that they don't want to be touched. They don't want nothing to do with. This is a low life. This is the lowest class of the religion and believers, and these are the worst. But this guy was living what he believed. And so when he seen this Jew who hated him, he seen this Pharisee or this Sadducee or whatever he was, he had compassion because he had the love of God in his heart. And so he just goes and takes care of him and puts him up in an inn and gives money to feed him and take care of him and for his medicine and for everything. Right. And gives a promise that if this isn't enough, when I come again, I'll pay the rest. Right. You'll just take care of this man. Huh? Don't know him. Nothing about him. Right. But he himself was considered lower than him. And that's exactly the kind of mocking that's going on today. Amen. Listen to this. Now remember, there was those standing there who saw Jesus do that. You know what they said? They were great preachers, great teachers, orthodox. And their belief, they said, this man is Beelzebub. Huh? He's a fortune teller. That's right. Now, of some of this great revelation, it came slowly. It was a shock at first. But this, the first time I heard these things, it was an eye opener to me. It was an eye opener. Because I wasn't a churchgoer, but I dated a few girls and they went to church and I went to church with them. And so make a good impression. And so that was my church life in those days. I didn't go myself, but if I was dating a girl, I'd go to church with her. That looked good for the parents. See, I know that's a hypocrite, but that's what I was, and so couldn't get away from it. But so I seen a lot of different. I seen the Baptists, what they did. I seen the Church of Christ, what they did. Seen the Methodists, what they did. Seen every one of them, the only one. And they all believed they were right. They all believed the right ones. So the Baptists, they criticized the Church of Christ because the Church of Christ don't have a piano. They don't have any instruments. They just sing a cappella. No, they don't have none of that. And then they criticized the Methodists because the Methodists, they could shout. And they could really carry on and make some noise and have a good time. And so they criticized that. And the Presbyterians, they were so quiet. They sat there, you could hear a pin drop while the preacher's talking. He's not preaching, he's just talking. And he's not going to get excited. It's just everything is real prim and proper and quiet. And so you see those things. And so then you find out it was the same way in Jesus' day. The same way. They didn't... They All of the ones who were worshiping Him, all the ones that were carrying on, all the ones that were looking for the Messiah and trying to live the strictest life or be the most right in the Scripture, have the best argument. Our doctrine is the best because we can prove it by the Bible. We got the scrolls, we can prove it. Huh? They had the same scrolls. They just had a different idea. Every one of them had a different thing. Oh my. Remember, there was those standing there who saw Jesus do that. And you know what they said? There were great preachers, great teachers, see? And their belief, see? And they said, this man is Beelzebub. He's a fortune teller. Huh? And what did the woman at the well do? Said, we know Messiah come. He's going to do what you're doing. Right. And he said, I'm He. And she ran. Huh? Yeah. She ran to tell everyone. The teachers, with all of that great learning, said He's Beelzebub. This is the devil. I can remember that stirred me. That stirred my heart. And I thought, this is exactly the Bible living. This message is the Bible living again, doing the same thing it did there. As Christ was revealing Himself to His disciples, the churches were all rejecting it. The churches were all fighting against it. But here was God Himself in a body, in the Son of God, in the body of the Son of God, the Christ. Here He was revealing the Father and manifesting the Father and doing great signs. And that was a that was another thing that really amazed me, is how that Jesus could take a crippled person and make them walk again, and then the churches condemned Him because it was on the wrong day of the week. You can't do that on Sunday. Well, they couldn't do it at all. But here He's doing it on the wrong day of the week. This man's taken up his bed and he's walking. God just healed him. He couldn't walk. He'd been on the ground. Blinded eyes opened. All the things that he was doing. And He asked him, for what good work do you condemn me? For what good work? And they said, not for the good works. They said, because you, being a man, make yourself God. So what did he do? He took him to the Scripture. He said, well, who's the Messiah going to be? Who's he going to be?
That's right.
Huh? The Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God.
Right.
The Mighty God is going to be
Amen. In
flesh.
Yes,
what did Jesus say to them? Watch this. This is really good. And they said, this man is Beelzebub. He is a fortune teller. What did Jesus say to them? They didn't say it out loud. Now, when you read this, you normally think that they're talking to Him, telling Him, you're the devil, you're Beelzebub. No, they weren't saying it out loud. They were thinking it. See, what was in the heart, they were thinking. And that's the difference. And that's how you really, really know. Because the Word of God in Hebrews said, the Word of God, which is God, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
That's what makes this message so real. That's what made the messenger so real. That's what vindicated the messenger. That's what vindicated Jesus Christ. That's what vindicated every prophet that ever come on the scene, is because they were a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yes,
they knew what you were thinking. And none of those men were able to do it, but it was the power of God, it was the presence of God who took over their minds and their thoughts.
Right.
See? And that's what I was getting to a while ago. When you're born again, you have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
You're thinking like Him. When you think like Him, you do like Him, you talk like Him, you act like Him. That's right, Brother Ben was saying, when those disciples, they was with Him, they walked on the road to Emmaus all day long. They walked with Him and they talked to Him and they asked Him questions. And in the evening they compelled him to come into the house and to eat. And when they began to feed him, he went to break the bread. He'd done something that they knew. They only knew him to do that. And it made them recognize him. And as soon as they recognized him, he vanished out of their presence. Huh? And that just confirmed what they just figured out. And that what took 6 hours to come, took them 1 hour to run back and tell everybody. See? See, what did Jesus say to them? They didn't say it out loud, but he perceived their thoughts. Huh? He perceived their thoughts. We know that's scripture. He perceived their thoughts. And he turned to them and he said, I'll forgive you for that, for those evil thoughts. Huh? Calling the works of God an evil spirit, doing it, see, a Beelzebub, a fortune teller. That's right. And I love it. I just love it. That how many times in the scriptures you see this? They didn't have to speak. Sarah didn't have to speak. Huh? Right. He asked her, where is she? And he knew where she was because he knew what she was thinking. Amen. She was in the tent behind him and she was listening. You know good and well she was listening. Yeah. Right. You know, I'm not going to pin that on the women. It wouldn't matter any of us was in that tent. We'd have been listening.
That's right.
Yes. And he said, why did Sarah laugh? She hadn't laughed out loud. She laughed in her heart.
Yes, sir.
And she said, I didn't laugh. And he said, but you did. Huh? A discerner of the thoughts and intents.
Yeah.
Praise be to God. See? Calling the works of God an evil spirit, doing it, Beelzebub. See, today they call it something like that, telepathy. Put an evil name to the works of God. He said, but someday the Holy Ghost will come to do the same thing. And now, here's where it puts us. See? Here's where that puts us. See? One word against it will never be forgiven in this world, neither in the world to come. See? How? That's how sacred it is. One word against it will never be forgiven in this world nor in the world that is to come. Amen. Now listen to this. So you see, if he is doing this, if he's doing this, not if a man's doing it, not if somebody's trying to produce it, just like all of those years, right? Brother Branham told us what those seven thunders were, told us what it was going to do, told us it was going to bring rapturing faith. And so preachers can't stand it. They know there's something there. They know the scripture says that mighty angel spoke those seven thunders. And so they want something. But Brother Branham said this was going to be a complete secret, a total secret. The public wouldn't know nothing about it. This was only going to be to an elected group. But the preachers couldn't stand it. Man, we had went, I don't remember how far back it was. I'm trying to think. If it was in the 90s, maybe the 80s, let's see. It would have been maybe in the 90s. I think in the 90s, if I'm right. It doesn't matter when, but just trying to be right on that detail. So, God had not opened it yet, what the thunders were. It was there. We knew where it was. We knew that the mighty angel speaks it. But we just didn't know exactly where it was. Brother Branham said that they weren't written. And in the same paragraph or continuing sentence, he said, "We'll let us find where they're written." He says they're not written. The Bible said they're not written. And then he said, let us find where they're written. Okay? So we were waiting. We were just waiting. And the prophet said the bride's going to wait. She's going to be quiet. Okay? But those others, they couldn't wait. They needed now to produce this. They needed to produce this. They needed something to keep the momentum. They needed something to keep the interest of the people. They needed something to stir up a revival. So what did? They got seven men. They got seven great preachers. And they went to the church in New York. And this is all history now. This happened way, way back there. And so they got 7 nights. And every preacher took a night. So the first one comes, he's preaching the first thunder. And the second one's preaching the second thunder and the third. So they get to the 7 thunders. But what do? They go back to the message, stature of a perfect man. And they preach. That's what they preach. So that those righteousness and virtue and all of those things, that's the thunders. No. That's not it. That's not it. No, this is something that had never been known. That was revealed by the seventh angel messenger. The virtues. They were revealed by the seventh angel. So now we're past that now. And these 7 thunders were not written in here. They were hidden. They were hidden. And so it's going to be something. Brother Branham said, if it's the same old thing, then you know it didn't come from God.
Right.
And he said, get away from it.
Yes.
He said, because this is going to be something that had been hidden and not known from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So we were waiting for God to do it. But man tried to do it. And many men. That they've been trying to do this thing and to try to interpret this and interpret that. No, God is the one.
Right.
God's the one doing it.
Amen.
And it all comes by the prophet. It's all in the message. But you just let God anoint somebody somewhere. Huh? And they're speaking the revelation. And God got another one over here. He's speaking the revelation. And he's got another one over here speaking the revelation. There ain't this here, I'm the one. God's called me, anointed me, I'm the one. No. It's a body. It's a many-membered body. That's right. It's a many-membered body. We're not putting one ahead of the other, not one bigger than the other one. No, it's not. So you see, if he's doing this, what position it puts us in.
Amen.
Huh? If God is doing this, if God is bringing the third pull, and the third pull is preaching to the eternal lost, then where are we? Because if we see that that's what God is doing, then we need to know, what position are we in? What's our place now? What do we have to do under this present condition and position that God has put us in?
Amen.
Yeah, there's only one of two places you can be.
Right.
You can only be the light, the word, that is preaching to the lost, or you're the lost.
Yep.
That's all you can be, one of the two. Because the prophet's not here. Now it's just Christ as he was in that prophet. Now he's in the body. Now he's in a many-membered body of Jesus Christ, the feminine of God. That's what the bride is. She's the feminine of God. She is being moved by the Spirit of God. So you see, if he is doing this, what position it puts us in. It seals us on one side or the other. The separating time has come, the investigating judgment. That's exactly where it's at. That's exactly what it is. We're investigating. Huh? We're finding where people are standing. It's what did he say? It's a separating time. This is a time of separation. No, the unbeliever now, the make-believer now. No, you're bringing them to it. Now, just like Jesus said, this is just coming to me just now, but you remember Jesus said, because you say you have no sin, then you have sin. And so what Brother Branham brought us to the point was that before the revelation came to them, that they were wrong, that their churches was wrong, the Pharisees were wrong, the Sadducees were wrong. Before he opened their eyes, in other words, no, not opened their eyes, but before he come on the scene and manifested the truth, right? Before he manifested the truth of the Word of God 2,000 years ago, and then again in the Seventh Church Age, then again in the Bride Age. Before that, now he's standing there, and he's the Word. Right? This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. And now them, their churches, the Pharisees, scribes, Herodians, all of them. Now they're looking at him, and they're looking at their church doctrine, and they're saying, no, no, that's not him. That's not the one. That's not it. Right there is where they became sinners.
Yes.
They were fine. They were fine as a Pharisee. They were fine as a Sadducee. They were fine as a scribe.
Right. Huh?
Whatever they were, whatever church, they believed in God. They believed the message as best they knew it.
Right.
Huh? And God was going by the sincerity of their heart, of their church. But now, Christ has come. Now the word is introduced. So now they have to accept now Christ in their day. Remember, he's the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Every time he comes, he's the word. Every time he comes, it's God, the word made manifest.
Amen.
So now that they've rejected now the present day truth, now they're sinners. Now they're sinners. See? It's separating time. What position it puts us in. Every one of us. If it's God doing it. See? If that was God on Calvary fulfilling the word of that day. If it was God in this day opening the book and revealing the plan of redemption. If that's what it was. See? It seals. It seals us. On one side or the other. That's the same thing. You see these things over and over and over. Well, in Noah's day, they were sealed in and they were sealed out.
Right.
Huh? Every time. Today, the Holy Ghost has come. The true token never came until the evening time.
Amen.
Huh? Because it was in part. Now it's the fullness.
Right.
Now, there it was the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon their spirit. That's what he taught us. That's what he preached to us. But he said, now, the token has come. And the token today is the literal life of Jesus Christ in the believer.
Yes, sir.
That's the difference.
That's right.
When that happens, you're sealed. Huh?
Amen.
And now, the investigating judgment is on for the world. You're out to the world out here. You're the light. You're walking through the darkness of this last days.
Huh?
And you're the light for anybody who can recognize the light.
Right.
And those that can't recognize the light, it's judgment. It's judgment to them. See, in 15. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened to Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Huh? Unless you're going to be a part of this. See? Separate yourself from it. That's what has to happen. Brother, Jesus said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not in you.
That's right.
And while he lingered, what was he doing? He wasn't playing on his phone. Huh? He wasn't playing on this. He wasn't playing on that. What was he doing? Was he trying to convince somebody else? Was he trying to take as much stuff with him as he could? What was he doing? But he was lingering. Huh? So much so, listen what they did. The men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. Huh? And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, that could very well be just supernatural. Just as Jesus passed through the crowd, just as Philip was caught up in another place. That's exactly what this could have been. That's exactly what it could have been. They just took them and they were outside the city. And then they're pushing them on. Somehow or another, they were having a hard time getting out of the house. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee now. Now, when the word of God or the angel of God gives you instructions, don't fail those instructions. The instructions was, look not behind thee. Huh? Neither stay thou in all the plain. Don't stay in the plain. Get to the mountains. Huh? Get to the mountains where you can get higher up. Huh? That's what he said in the fourth chapter of Revelations. The church age is finished, and he said, come up higher. There's a door. He's seen a door in heaven. He said, come up higher. See? Don't stay in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. I just can't imagine it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that what's taking place, that the angels of God are delivering you from, first of all, from the men of the city, and now they've taken you and set you outside of the city, and now you're going, and they're taking you to the mountains where you can get up and be safe, and you're saying, no, 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 no. I want to go to a city. I want to go to this town over here. I just can't comprehend it. And you know, and we probably all do stuff like that. You know, we probably do stuff just like that without even realizing it. But here it is, we're watching somebody else do it, and we're thinking, are you, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, God is delivering you. And he already said here up here just a minute ago, he said that how merciful God was to, you know, while he's lingering and messing around. But behold now, he says, let me finish that in 19. See, I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape thither. See, is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. See, he just couldn't take that separation. He just couldn't take that separation. And he said, and he said unto him, see, I've accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city. See, it was on the list. Every city was to be destroyed. And he's saying now, okay, I'm not going to destroy it for your sake. See? And that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. See, now I got another quote here. I'm going to close in a minute. I know my time's up, but just I want to get somewhere. So the world don't know what that is. You know, you know it's on. We know it's on. We know he took the book. We know redemption's revealed. We know that the rapture is that catching away, being caught up into him. We know that's what the rapture is. It's a catching away, and we know that just as the scripture said, that it happens in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And that's what the new birth is. When you're born again, you come face to face with the revelation of Jesus Christ. You come into the presence of God. Who is he? He's the Word. And when you meet him, he's revealing himself to you. That's the only way you can believe these things. Yeah, this is just utter foolishness to anybody else. There's no way that you can believe those seven thunder mysteries, except God reveals it to you. Otherwise, it's just too far out there. It's too wild. It's too crazy. It's just too much. See, now he's back to talking about those angels, those investigating judgment angels. And he's saying, now the world don't know what it is. They see the signs. They see the things going on. Even the churches do now. See, not just the FBI and the CIA and the NASA and all those people. They all see it. They know something's going on. But also the churches, the Baptists, the Methodists, and all of the message churches. Everybody sees something's going on. They just don't know what it is. See? And we know. See? We know what it is. We know it's investigating. Huh? Judgment angels, you see. And how at the Pentagon and all, and how about it comes right down, and the intelligence. And how they can, Brother Branham snaps his fingers and says it goes like a flash, and it's gone. Pull away from anything we got. We got planes that'll break the sound barrier. We got planes that are so fast that it's just amazing the speed that they can achieve. And it's gone. It's gone. They see it, and then it's not there. See? See, they don't realize what it is. See? Let them think whatever they want to. They can call it flying saucers or whatever, UFOs, whatever they want to call it. That's all right. They don't know. They don't know. But you do. See? Haste thee. The angel's talking to him. Haste thee. Escape thither. Go to this little town you want, village you want to go to. For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Now, I don't know how far away, but I think they left in the dark, and now they've traveled a while, and now he's not going to the mountains, now he's going to go to this little town. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all of them. See, and all the inhabitants of the cities, every one of those cities, every one of those villages, destroyed them and all the people. That which grew on the ground, got their crops, got all of their stuff, everything is destroyed now. Huh? What does this remind you of? This reminds you of Noah. Everything's wiped out. All the people, everything's wiped out. Huh? Complete destruction. See? But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Huh? She looked back. She wanted to see. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Okay? She looked back and she becomes salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom. Huh? Now she just turned to salt for looking toward Sodom. But now here's the predestinated seed. Here's the predestinated seed. And he looks toward Sodom. Huh? Didn't have no effect on him, did it? No, it didn't have no effect on him. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land. He looked at all of it and beheld, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Huh? And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plains that God remembered Abraham. Huh? When he's destroying those cities, God's remembering Abraham. I want you to think about this. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelled. Now that made me think, I put a note in there, because that made me think of Brother Branham. God told Brother Branham, all that you ever loved and all that ever loved you, said it'll be there. It'll be there. Why? Because God was remembering Brother Branham. And here God... Abraham loved his nephew. He loved him so much. He wanted him so much that he told him, said, Lord, if there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20, Lord, if there's just 10. And God said, if there's 10, I won't destroy it. So what's Abraham thinking now? Huh? He's thinking. God always gives him something to doubt. See? To be tested by the devil. Always, that's always there. Every time. And so it always... Satan thinks he's overcome. But God remembered Abraham. And he remembered his promise to Abraham. But there wasn't 10. There wasn't 10. Abraham was thinking if he could have got all of the sons and daughters-in-laws and all of them, there's 10. And Abraham thought, surely, they're going to go in the house. They're going to be saved. But they weren't. But God still remembered. He still did for him. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelled in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now, this is just exactly where we find ourselves many times. God's trying to take us one way, and we're saying, no, let me go over here. That's too much. Let me go over here. This is more comfortable over here. And what happens? He still ends up where God was trying to get him. Amen. Isn't that right? God does it every time. He's going to get us there. He's going to get us there every time. And I'm going to stop right there, but I want to say this in closing. You remember Brother Branham, when God revealed to him that he was going to have a son named Joseph. And what happened? The next child that came was not Joseph. Huh? It was, what was it, Rebecca? One of the girls. Yeah. So now he's thinking. Okay, so then everybody, what did they do? They mocked. They made fun. They laughed. You meant Josephine. You didn't mean Joseph. You meant Josephine. And so they made fun of that. And so God, the true believers, never doubted there was going to be a Joseph. They never doubted that Brother Branham seen that or God told him that. So then, I just read this today, and I probably read it a long time ago, but it didn't stick with me. And so I just read it this afternoon. And you remember God gave Brother Branham the vision that a little boy was run over by a car. And he said he described how the boy was dressed. He described his haircut, described everything about it. And he said, that boy is going to raise from the dead, thus saith the Lord. So just right after that, Brother Branham is down in Miami. And he's going into the meetings. They're having a big meeting. I think it was 10 or something. And so there was a boy, a young boy, that was killed in a drainage ditch that day. Same day. And so some of them there had known that Brother Branham talked about that boy was going to be raised from the dead. So they bring that boy to the meetings and they put him in the back. Now they got this dead boy back there. And so they tell Brother Branham, we got the boy, you know. And so they take him back there and Brother Branham looks at him and he says, that's not him. He said, this boy's younger than that boy. This boy's got a different haircut. This boy's dressed different. This boy is not all cut up, like been strangled under a car. He said, this is not the boy. He prayed for the boy, but they buried the boy. And so you know what the devil does with those things. He says it's going to happen. If it was God, God would have raised that boy up. No. God said what he was going to do, and God does it perfect. And so it never deterred Brother Branham. Not about Joseph, not about the resurrection of the boy. And that is what I wanted to say. That people that are backing up, people that are going away from the message because they think the cloud should have been like this or it should have been like that. Brother Branham meant to say Betty and he said Susie, whatever. Okay? That's human error. But the word, you don't find that in the word. There's no error in the word. None. There's none. It said just like it's supposed to be said. And Brother Branham said, some things are said to throw them off. And so if you put a message of deliverance, the gospel of salvation, in the hands of a sixth grade education, then that man can't do it. It took God to come down and take over that man and to speak this revelation. And so any imperfections in there, God let them be there. That's right. And every one of us have it. I got all of mine. I don't got good English. I don't got good anything. And see, you have to put up with that. And you have to still be able to believe the word of God above the failures of the man that's saying it.
That's right.
That's it. Yep. Praise be to God. Let us stand. Amen. How great is our God. Amen. How great. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, because your spirit is here and your truth is here. And that's the only way anybody could fulfill that scripture, Lord, is by you being in them and you revealing yourself to them. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. May you bless each one here and those listening in, Lord. May you stir every heart. And Lord, let us be of those of days gone by that every word is planted in our hearts. Lord, and nothing is shaken or can be moved, Lord, but we're sealed. We're sealed in with you and the world is sealed out. Oh God, Help us and guide us now. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. You are dismissed.